the opportunity to come into your house once again and to feel your presence, to know that you're here and available to us today. We thank you for the prayer requests that have been mentioned here this morning, and we ask that you be with the folks that have been in the accident down the road. We pray that you would help them and help the ones that are helping them. Be with the folks there that are administering their skills to them. Give them wisdom in what to do and how to do it. We thank you for each person that's gathered here in this building today, and we ask that you'd help us now as we study this lesson, that we would be recipients of what you have for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, this lesson today from Isaiah is offering hope for the future. And if there's ever a day that we need hope, I believe it's today. A lot of people don't have hope today. And we need to be in connection to the Lord so that we can offer hope through His Word. The book of Isaiah basically has to do with God's sovereignty over all history. God's a sovereign God, and He is in control whether people believe that or not. God is in control. And Isaiah was being used of God to bring that message to God's people and to the world. He's brought the message to us today. We have the opportunity today to be recipients of what God has, through Isaiah, written down for us. And so we're going to study a little bit about that. This thing of these false gods in that day gave false hope. It's the same way today. We have a lot of people today that have their confidence and their faith in something else besides the one true and living God, the one that really created all things and controls all things. And so today, if we have our hope in the Lord Jesus, we are all men most miserable. I talked with a young man yesterday that said, you know, I've lost everything in life. I said, well, let's talk about that for a moment. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Oh, he said, I know he does because I talked to him. I said, well, you haven't lost everything. In fact, you have the most important thing that there ever was living in you today. And so even though we've lost all of our earthly possessions maybe, and maybe some of our friends, Jesus promised us that he had hope for our future. And we can have that hope today because we know him. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, or follow in your Sunday school books. Assyria was one of the most powerful nations in the world in that day. You might kind of liken them to the United States of today, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. And whatever they wanted to do, basically they did. If they wanted to overrun a country, they just overran it and took everything that they had and destroyed what they wanted to destroy. And so there was no one more powerful than the Assyrians of that day. And so Isaiah here is really writing about what God is talking to us and to them about. It says, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw nearer to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. What had happened here is that the people of God had gone into a formal worship, It's a danger today as well, a formal worship. They had no real relationship with the God of the universe. They had forgotten Him. In fact, many of them had started worshiping false gods, idols, the idols of the people around them. And I'm fearful that that's happening in our country, in our nation. I'm not against a lawful immigrants that come to our country, but those who come to our country often bring their gods with them. I know it's not popular to talk about that today, but that's the truth. They bring their gods with them. And it's a natural thing. And it's always been that way in history. You can track it in the annals of wars. Whenever a nation overcame another nation, they brought their gods with them. And they worshiped and served those gods. And so God's people had began to worship those heathen gods that were around about them and forgotten the very God that had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And God said He brought them out with a strong arm and a stretched out hand. He was taking care of them. You know, as we said, Isaiah, the theme of Isaiah is God is sovereign over all nations and all people. And so He's saying, I will take care of my people. But His people had forgotten Him. Isaiah had confessed with his own mouth that his people were a people of unclean lips. That didn't mean necessarily that they spoke bad words all the time, but they had forgotten how to really praise and worship God. I wonder about us today. Have we forgotten how to really worship God? I'm talking about as a nation. I'm not talking about you as an individual, but we need to search our own hearts to know what kind of relationship we have with God today, whether it's a thing of the past or whether it's a current relationship. God wants us to have a current relationship with Him today. You know, not tomorrow, not what happened in our lives yesterday, but what's happening today with our relationship between ourselves and God. And what Isaiah is saying here is that his own people, God's own people, had forgotten about how to worship Him with their heart, not just with their lips. He said their lips, they kind of honor me. They give me a false worship. But with their heart, it's far from me. What they've done, they've forgotten how to really have that relationship with God daily as they should have. And so Jesus in His day called those people hypocrites. Now, you know, today, if you would call a person a hypocrite, it might be a bad thing, you know. Some people wouldn't like that at all. I don't think I'd like it. But nevertheless, if we're not doing what God wants us to do and how He wants us to do it, that's exactly what we are. You know, the people in Jesus' day, the ones who walked around in their long robes and prayed long prayers in a city square, Jesus said they were hypocrites because He knew the heart. And by the way, He hasn't changed. He knows the heart today. He knows our heart today. He knows my heart today. Where is my heart with Him? Not what I'm saying so much with my lips, but where is my heart with Him? What kind of relationship do I have with Him today? Verse 14 says, therefore, behold, or look at this, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. There's a lot of people think they're pretty wise today. You know, there's a lot of difference between knowledge and wisdom. A lot of difference. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom is a different thing. And he says, the wise men shall perish. The wisdom of the wise men shall perish. And the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid or be darkened. God, the Lord's response here should cause us to really think about our relationship with God. His promise was, I will treat this people in a wonderful way. And there's something wonderful about the way the Lord treats us today. When we consider the grace that God gives us every day, it should cause us to be humble before Him. Can you imagine what it would be like to live under the law? I can't even imagine what it would be like to live under the law. Try to keep the law. The second half of this verse is cited by Paul in 1 Corinthians. And this is a justification for that statement. It said, the preaching of the cross to them, that is, that perish is foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's a power of God. The preaching of the gospel. You know, many of us have come to church for centuries, almost, seems like. Ever since we can remember, we grew up on the church benches. But the gospel has not changed. It's not changed. It's not changed since the first time I heard it. I'm talking about the gospel now, not preaching necessarily. A lot of people preach different things, but the gospel itself has not changed. And it is the power of God unto salvation. If the gospel hits on ears that are convicted of sin, it'll change their lives. It will change their lives. The cross of Christ should always be the central part of the message of God. What He did on the cross. When you think about Him going to the cross, it should cause us to meditate about what our position with Him is today. God's wonderful work doesn't mean that He is not a just God. Just because He grants us grace today doesn't mean that He will not judge sin, because He's a faithful and just God. And so God is saying here to these people, I'm going to do something different. Let's look at verse 15. If there happens to be a question or a thought here, I want you to just hold up your hand and share that with us, because this is your Sunday school class, and you need to do that. All right, let's read 15, and if you have a question or thought, let's listen to it. It says, woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. In other words, they think they can hide what they're thinking from God. And their works are in dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? When he's talking about the dark, I don't think necessarily he's talking about nighttime. There is no darkness like the sin of darkness, like sin. Sin will darken the minds of God, of God's people, of the people that God has created. I should say it that way, maybe. But nevertheless, God sees and knows all. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's light or dark. He knows it. So this means that they stop at nothing to conceal all the sins that they're committing, and they think they're getting away with it. There's a lot of people today think they're getting away with a lot of things that one of these days God's going to say, here's the book. here's the book. Take a look at this. And I'm concerned that people will not ask forgiveness of their sins before the time comes when they leave this earth and go to be with God. David rightly said, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shines like the day, and the darkness and light are both alike unto thee." What David is saying, to God, it's always daylight. It don't make any difference whether it's dark on this side of the earth or light on the other, or vice versa. To God, it's always day. In other words, what he's saying is, God always sees and God always knows what's going on in the lives of all people. Not just a few. Not just his own chosen people. He sees and knows what's going on in all people's lives. Verse 16 says, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as potter's clay, for it shall the work of him that made it, he made me not." Are you going to say to God, "God, you didn't make me. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody's going to tell me anything different"? That's the attitude of a lot of people today. Have that attitude. You know, I'm my own person. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody's going to tell me not to. Well, there is somebody that tells us not to. We may not pay any attention to it, but you know, it's kind of like your parents at home. Sometimes mom and dad say, "Don't do that." Well, that went, you know. After a while, it'll catch up with you. You know, you'll get caught up with. Well, you're always caught whenever you do something like that in this life, because God knows and keeps good records. Keeps good records. He don't keep the records for himself, because he knows. Keeps the records so whenever comes time, he can show it to us if we need to. He can always say, here it is. It's written down. What are you going to do with that? Did you or didn't you? Guilty or not guilty? Well, he talks about the potter here. I think he's talking about himself. He's the potter, we're the clay. He can make us and form us and fashion us as he wishes. Gives us the opportunity to be fashioned, I might say, as we should be. And so God says, are we going to say to him, "I don't want to have anything to do with you. The one who made you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't even believe you exist." There are those who have that philosophy today. I don't even believe. What they're really saying is, I don't believe that God made me. I don't believe God created me. Just happened. Well, I choose not to believe that. I believe God made all things. In fact, he said that. There's nothing made that I didn't make. I'm the creator and sustainer. I create it. I take care of it. And there's really nothing you can do about it. Oh, you can fuss and complain and whatever. You can do like these people did. They ignored what the prophet was telling them. But that didn't change the situation. When we think about it, that's the way a lot of people are today too. They're, in my view, they're listening to what's being said and confessing things with their mouth, but their heart's not in it. They're just playing games with God, so to speak. Let's look at verse 17. We're going to move along. "Is it not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest?" Lebanon is known even today for its forests. Beautiful trees in that area because the climate's such as they grow well. And we are fortunate around here to have good vegetation, good forest lands. A lot of places don't have that. We take it for granted because we see it all the time. Now, you can go into the Hoosier National Forest, and sometimes when I was younger, I would just walk and be amazed at some of the trees that were in that in the forest. And those are young compared to what they used to be. Every once in a while, you would find a stump of some of the, what we call original forest, and they're twice as big as the trees that were growing in there today. I know I worked at Whirlpool Corporation for 30-some years, and a portion of that building was built out of forest that grew near that location. And the beams in that thing are unbelievable, bolted together with huge bolts, the superstructure. And I would look at that, and I thought, boy, you know, that come out of a pretty good-sized tree for them, those beams to be 14, 16, 18 inches in width and 3 or 4 inches thick and bolted together, sometimes 6 or 7 of them together to make a truss. And I thought, boy, what kind of trees? And a lot of it was oak, because, you know, if you've been around lumber or some, you know when you run into some good oak trees. But nevertheless, the size of those things must have been unbelievable. I know in Rockport we have a few cherry oak trees. I don't know whether you've noticed them or not. There's a few of them around. There used to be a big one on the old seminary in Fifth Street corner. There's still a couple of them there on Sixth Street, cherry oak trees. Some of those things are about 6 or 8 feet through the base of them. They're still there. If you've walked around town, you know what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, many of those trees are gone. Not very many of them left. And so this Lebanon forest was full of big trees. In fact, David got a lot of his lumber to build the temple from there. Shipped down in rafts in the Mediterranean Sea and then carried across inland to Jerusalem. So Lebanon was known for its forests. And he said, one of these days, it's going to be turned into a fruitful field. A fruitful field. The fields were going to be fertile and grow a lot of food for people. And God was going to take care of them. What God is really trying to say is, hey, don't lean on these false gods. Lean on me because I'll take care of you. I'm the controller of this. I will take good care of you. Verse 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. He's talking about what we call the Bible, the words of God. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of security and out of darkness. The words of the book, as we know it, are the words spoken by God to men and then recorded for us today. So we have them. In the future, God's words will be so accessible to everybody that even a person who's deaf and who is blind have no excuses about knowing the Word of God. In fact, it's almost that way today. The Word of God is so available to us in this country that you have no excuse of not knowing what the Word of God says. If you want to do something on your smartphones or whatever, just type in read and hear the Bible. And you can get all kinds of different translations of the Bible, and it'll read it to you, and you can see it. We do it every day just about at home. Read and hear the Bible, and it's available to you. All you got to do is punch in a few keys if your computer's working or if you know how to work your computer. That's my problem. The computer controls me instead of me controlling it most of the time. I just might as well be honest about it. I don't know how to use that thing as I should. But once in a while, I get lucky and hit the right keys, and so the word comes up for me to to read and hear. And so what he's saying is one of these days the Bible is going to be so available, the Word of God is going to be so available, that even if you were blind and you couldn't hear a word, you could get it. You'd know it was there. And so one of these days God's going to make that available. Verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The key words here are the Holy One of Israel. It occurs several times in the Bible. The Holy One of Israel. It's talking about our Maker, our Creator, our Sustainer. And that's what Isaiah is wanting to get across here. Some humans are correctly saying when they recognize everything is well that, you know, their Creator is taking care of them. And rightly so. We would all be in bad shape if God didn't take care of us. Even in our moments when we lack wisdom. Let's put it that way. I didn't want to say that we're dumb, but that's about the way it is, you know. In spite of all the Israelites' unfaithfulness to God, God remained their God. That doesn't mean God won't try to correct you, and He will correct you, and He did His own people in that day, but it doesn't mean that He doesn't love us either. He says here that He's going to make His Word so available that everybody will be able to know it. Verse 20 and 21, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and a scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, and that make a man to offend for word, and to lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. The writer here is saying that the unjust will one day be judged. Because people think they're getting by today doesn't mean that one day they won't stand before God Almighty and give account. For us who are saved today, our sins are covered by the blood, so we don't have to give an account for them. Aren't you glad of that? I don't know about you, but I am glad of that. I'm glad I don't have to give account. Jesus carried all of my sins and my wrongdoings and took care of them. He buried them in the deepest sea so that they're not going to be remembered again. I'm glad of that. But if that hasn't happened in your life, you can be assured that one day you will stand before Him and the books are going to be open, as we said earlier. Verse 22, therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham. Well, Abraham had a redeemer as well. I wonder how that happened. Concerning the house of Jacob, and Jacob shall not be ashamed, neither shall his face wax pale. God assured the people of Israel, His own people, that by invoking the names of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would be remembered, that God would remember them. Moses introduced God's law to the people, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so today, we live in that period of time of grace. And so Moses had done his job in bringing the law, and the people saw that they could not keep the law. They could not keep the law. No man could keep the law by himself except Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect man. And so God's initial thought is here, hey, I'm your Creator, I'm your controller, I'll take care of you. Don't fool with these false gods. Don't get tangled up with them. Let's look at verse 23 as we hurry on. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands. Notice that. God tells us very plainly that we're the work of his hands. I don't know where people get the idea that they just happen. Except the fact that they don't read the Word. And they don't let the Word sink into their hearts. Well, when he seeth his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel, or respect and reverence the God of Israel. So when you see, when you get the vision that God is your creator and he's the controller of your life, then you'll respect him. I think that's what he's saying here. To sanctify God's name means to acknowledge that he's holy and he's the only one that's holy. These false gods are just what they are, false gods. And will fear him or will reverence him. Verse 24, and they also that err in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn the doctrine, shall learn doctrine. Well, today we're fortunate. We can come into a place like this, and God has the opportunity to teach us his ways, so that we can learn his ways, learn how to please him. Not please the world, not please our friends or anybody around us, but please him. That's what we're after today, being able to please the Lord. Even if we've erred in our lives, and all of us have, because there's none righteous, no, not one, then we can come to the understanding that God will take care of us if we ask him for his forgiveness. And we will learn that that is the right doctrine. Doctrine is important. Now, I'm not talking about some crazy thing, but to learn that Jesus Christ is your creator and that he is the controller of your life is important. And if you don't learn that, your life's probably going to be in shambles all the days that you are on this face of this earth. So, the unjust ways will be judged. But God, who is one who loved us so much that he gave himself for us, is our only hope. And so we put our confidence and faith in him today. All right, is there any questions, any thoughts before we dismiss? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had enough of skinning animals. Not for my sins, by the way, but to eat. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we don't have to do that today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have ever come to know that you are the creator and sustainer of all life. You love us today. We're sorry that we've sinned and come short of your glory, but we accept your grace today. We accept your mercy today. We pray for all that have heard the word here this morning, and we ask that that word that only you can quicken to our spirit would remind us in a time of need of your love for us. Be with us in the remaining part of this service here today and services around the world where your name is lifted up, where you're glorified, where you're acknowledged. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us as your people to live more like you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Pastor? Happy Mother's Day.